Well, thank you again, and we'll get right into the Bible study tonight, and we're going to continue working our way through the first chapter of James and trust that it's a blessing to you. We'll look at verses 5, 6, and 7. Maybe it's on your handout as you got on the way in, but we'll look at those few verses. While you're finding your place there in James, I did hear this story about this fellow walked up to this little boy. He was sitting there in the park and at a picnic table. There's a dog right there beside of the boy. And the man came up, he was just making small talk. He said, "Oh, does your dog bite?" He said, "No, my dog don't bite." And he said, "Oh, it's good." And so he sat on down there at a picnic table over beside him. He reached down and tried to pet the dog, and all of a sudden, about took three fingers off of it and bit him as hard as he could. And he said, "I thought you said your dog don't bite." He said, "Not my dog." So I just fear we need a little extra laugh tonight, so he can't be responsible for other people's dogs. We're looking at James chapter 1. You remember that we were looking at patience, having a perfect work, that we might be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. That's up in verse number 4. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We're going to look there tonight and see that. But we were looking all on these parts of the, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." All kinds of things happen to us, and we've been looking at the purpose of these trials, of these tests. Well, on the tail end of that thought, sort of on the tail end, it goes from in verse number 4, "But let patience have a perfect work in you, that you may be perfect, entire," which just means complete and finished, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. But on the tail end of that, it says in verse 5, "But if any of," and, or not there, but it's almost as if, "but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him," shall be given him. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." So it seems almost in verse number 5, as you look at the tail end of verse 4, you're perfect, entire, wanting nothing. And then almost as a conjunction there, "If any of you lack wisdom, then you can ask of God." Now that verse is a prayer promise to any of you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's good for so many things. But specifically in this passage, if you're having trouble with those trials, those difficulties, those testings, those things that we do not like, they're in your life. You don't want them to be in there, but they're there whether you like them or not. You can't hardly figure out why they are there, and you aren't perfect, entire, wanting nothing, but you're wanting some answers. God says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask." And so I want to look at that for a little while when you're lacking wisdom. And as I said, we tied into that, but it's so good for prayer promises about anything. And it doesn't matter whether you're a parent, whether you're a spouse, whether you're a business owner, whether you're an employee, employer, doesn't matter. You need wisdom, and I know that the Lord gives it again and again. So we're going to look at here, we're going to look at the needful servant in verse number 5, because that's where we all find ourselves. If any of you lack wisdom, and there's nobody in this room that doesn't lack wisdom. And so we notice the lack of wisdom here in verse number 5 is connected to that verse number 4. But regardless, we see that this wisdom is what we seek. Wisdom is the exercise and the practical use of knowledge. Because there's all kinds of knowledge around there. As a matter of fact, that's what your second blank is. There, our world is very knowledgeable. I did a Google search just getting ready for this lesson tonight, and just did one like I've done for many on different lessons, but did a Google search this, how to fix family problems. Before I finished typing it, of course, Google figures out what you're going to type. Sometimes they're wrong, you know, but it did it right. How to fix family problems, and it put it on there. I'm glad it didn't say how to get rid of family problems, how to get rid of family members. No, nothing like that. But before I could finish typing it, it showed me something. "Well, you're a slow typer, buddy. You better hurry up. How to fix family problems." And do you know that site after site told you and me how to fix family problems? And I didn't go down through them, but probably 3/4 of them probably gave some kind of worldly wisdom or worldly knowledge, I should say. And maybe some things untested. There was good things mixed in there. There was good Christian ministries that were listed in there. Get in the Bible, with your family around Jesus Christ. Right? But my point in saying all that, there was site after site of how to So this world has plenty of knowledge. I remember one time Jared was crawling through. He was going turkey hunting with this fellow at church at Franklin Road. And not till afterwards, Ted, the big hunter, he said, "Well, you're not allergic to poison ivy, are you, boy?" And Jared said, "I don't know." Well, he was. And so he was all crawling through it. And it was all over him. And so do you know that about everything that you can imagine is a cure for poison ivy? You look long enough on the internet, somebody thinks it's a cure. I mean, there was everything from apple cider vinegar to alcohol to bleach to everything. You just put it on there and somebody's convinced that that's the cure for what's ailing you. So there's all kinds of knowledge. Now, a lot of it's bad, a lot of it's faulty, a lot of it's this. But what we're not lacking knowledge in this world. What we're lacking is wisdom. Because wisdom comes from a heavenly source. And so there's a lot of people who don't think they would need a meeting like this because they've got it all figured out. And let's not just put all the blame on all the people who didn't come. All of us sometimes think we have it figured out about something or another because we've been in it so long. But knowledge is a whole lot different than wisdom. And so the scripture says, if any of you lack wisdom, and if not there now, you will be there. If you're in a relationship with somebody, I know you'll be there because those relationships have a way of shifting back and forth. And if you are counting or banking on what you know, you're in a heap of trouble because we need higher level thinking and knowledge and wisdom than what we can muster up. So we see the needful servant there. But we see not only the needful servant here, if any of you lack wisdom, we see the capable God also in verse number 5. Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So who gives this out? The problem with all those Google results were they had source after source after source, intelligent after intelligent person after intelligent person, but many of them forgot to put God in the equation. And so if I want wisdom, I've got to get it from Him who gives it, and that is God. But I'm so thankful that not only do we know that God is the one that gives it out, but I'm thankful that He gives it to whoever wants it. Who giveth, the Bible says, to all men liberally. There's great comfort to me that a poor boy from West Virginia and grew up in the sticks, that somebody like me can get the wisdom of Almighty God for the problems that are facing me, and you can do the same today. And so we understand, and we're going to get into it probably next week, that God knocks the props out of a lot of those people that think they're high and mighty. Look down here in verse number 10. But the rich that he has made low because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Look at the verse number 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. God has a way of evening out those things. And one of the ways that he evens those out is you're not the supply source. He is. And so he says, to whom is he willing to give it? All men. And so please don't ever think that, you know, we have a problem in this world with low self-esteem. And I used to pray for all three of our kids that God would give them self-confidence as they went throughout their day in school or wherever. But I changed that prayer somewhere along the way. I said, Lord, I want you to give them God confidence. Because is there much difference? Well, in my thinking, there was at that season of my life, because I didn't want them to think that they had all the answers, but I wanted them to know that God had all the answers and that they were loved by an almighty God that was going to help them and never leave them nor forsake them. They were all three saved by that time. He was going to help them through every situation. He was going to give them wisdom, because that promise right there in verse number 5 is made to that little kid that's in school that doesn't know how to handle somebody who's not very nice, but it's also good for a business owner that doesn't know whether he should stretch out and absorb this other company or whether he should pull back. Let him ask, the Bible says. And then I love the next one. Not only to whom does he give it, but how does he give it? I don't like being a liberal because I want to be a conservative. You know, that always sounds so much better, it seems like. But God is liberal in this instance in his giving to men the wisdom they ask for. Nothing wrong with being a liberal. If you're giving Christmas gifts to your pastor, be liberal. Be liberal. Just be liberal. If you're helping the staff out, be liberal. Oh, mercy, be a liberal. If you're buying your wife something for Valentine's Day, be stingy. But no, don't. Be liberal. But it says, not only does he give it to all men, but he giveth it freely. Why would God want to hoard it? He's got all the wisdom. He is all knowledgeable. There is nothing to be known that he doesn't know. He is all powerful, all knowing. He's the omniscient God. That's the big word for saying there's nothing to be known that he doesn't know. He knows everything. So why wouldn't he share it with us? He giveth to all men liberally. So I see the capable God. Now let me show you in verse number 6 where we run into problems though, okay, before we close tonight. We know that God's willing. We know that he's able. We know how he gives it. He gives it liberally. But here's the problem in verse 6. But let him ask in faith. So can I tell us, I told you the other night, Sunday night, I believe, whenever it was, that most of our, or Sunday morning, most of our prayer problems are the lack of prayer. It's not that we don't know the posture, the position, we don't know the place. It's not that we don't know all those things. The biggest hindrance to my answered prayer is that many of them aren't getting prayed. So we know that. But here we see in verse number 6 is the way that how we're supposed to pray. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition of what it means to be in faith and to pray in faith. It is to believe what you can't see. Now, we all know that a person would say, well, seeing is believing. Well, In this instance, to believe it, we believe it by faith before we actually see it come to fruition. But as we look at that, we see that what we need to do is have confidence in God. Have confidence in God. Now, let me tell you how it happens for me most of the time. I'll be in a very strong position. Maybe you have to decide something, and you've got to decide to step back from something and let God work. Most of the time we get things messed up when we get in the way of what God wants to do. But I'll be in a very strong faith position for something. And I'll be not psyched up, but I'll be spirit-led maybe. And I'll be full of faith. And that is so good for that day. But let me tell you what happens the next day. Seems like doubt gets up before my faith gets up. And it seems like it beats me up before I get up. And so what happens oftentimes is I'll be at a good spot and I'll say, Lord, I'm just going to give it to you. And I mean it. Lord, I'm trusting you by faith and I release it. I give it to you. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Lord, I'm giving it to you. But then a day goes by or 2 days or some hours or sometimes less than that. And God doesn't do it as work as fast as I wanted him to. And then it's as if I grab it back and say, Lord, it looks like I'm going to have to take it back from you because you didn't work as fast as I wanted you to. So I'm confessing what happens to me oftentimes is I, in a true moment, hour, day, whatever, of faith, say, Lord, I give it to you. I come to you and I believe that you are. You're the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm truly coming in faith. But then my faith gets weak after a day or two or a week or a month goes by and it still isn't done. I say, Lord, I thought we had a deal. I gave it and you took it and then you were going to work it out. But how many of you have found out God doesn't always work on your timetable? And that's when sometimes I have trouble. If God always worked on my timetable or your timetable, then we would have less trouble trusting him. But he doesn't tell you, he doesn't command you to trust him while he's working on your timetable. He commands you to trust him regardless of what the timetable is. And so we ought to have confidence in God. And the scripture says, let him ask in faith. And that faith is believing what's not there yet to be seen. And that faith is trusting God when you can't trust anything else. And some of us in here, we want it done so bad and we do trust the Lord. But when the Lord doesn't work as fast as we want, we have trouble with faith. And we're about like it describes in verse number 6. We're on again, we're off again. We're trusting him, we're not trusting him. We're strong, we're weak. We're like that wave that's tossed to and fro. But the scripture commands us to pray. And pray in faith. And the very premise of faith is you can't see it. So why should it matter if it takes a week, a month, a year? But it does to us. I often think about that passage in Romans chapter 12 where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You remember that passage? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, and I've never forgot it. He said, there's a problem with these living sacrifices. Now, it was made in reference to the Old Testament sacrifice where they'd take flesh of a lamb or something, put it up on there and burn the sacrifice. And then in that same fashion, you're supposed to give yourself holy like that sacrifice was given to the process of given to the Lord. And so we're supposed to present ourselves a living sacrifice. This preacher said it like this. There's a problem with those living sacrifices. They have a tendency to crawl down off the altar. And my friend, that's where I falter. Dr. Lee Robertson was the president of Tennessee Temple University. I went there for a little while after God called me to preach in Highland Park Baptist Church, a large, influential church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Before his death, Clarence Sexton, from a pastor from over in Powell, Tennessee, was interviewing him. And this was a man that in the heyday of Tennessee Temple University, they had 5,000 students. They had another 5,000 that went to the college. They had 50 chapels around that area, different local churches that were started out there. They had bus routes running everywhere and radio stations Camp Joy. They just had ministry after ministry after ministry. And Clarence Sexton asked him, what do you regret over your life of ministry? He said, I wish I had had more faith. And so this was a guy and as I hear that, I'm thinking, goodness gracious, one of the most faithful men in his generation. But as he got near to the end of his life, he said, I wish I'd had more faith. Trusting God. And that's what the scripture says that we are supposed to do in our prayers when we lack wisdom. Let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally, but let him ask. If you're going to ask, let him ask in faith. Look at verse number 7 as we see the classification, the condemnation, whatever it is, the way that person that isn't going to ask in faith, what's he going to get? God just puts it down there where the rubber meets the road. For let not that man, which man? That man that doesn't ask in faith. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That reminds me of Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6, when it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And it says, don't even lean not to your own understanding. And so as we think about this, that when we a little bit lean to our own understanding. We give it to the Lord by faith, but then we don't leave it to the Lord in faith. We kind of take it back because, Lord, doesn't look to me like I'm not understanding what you're doing here, so I'm going to take back over the wheel. We've all done that, right? When you're trying to teach somebody how to drive and you finally just say, forget it. You tell them, push the brake down, or you grab the emergency brake and say, get out. Well, listen, my friend. That's a poor illustration because that teenage girl, whoever you're teaching, might have killed you. So maybe you did the right thing there. But I know this. Sometimes we're trusting God good in faith. We really are. Not you're being proud of it, but you're giving it to him. God's giving you peace. And you've got it him trusted by faith. Can you just leave it there? That disappointment in your family, that problem in your relationship with somebody? Can you just leave it there? Just leave it in that faith position? Because that man that didn't ask in faith from that wisdom for that problem solve or whatever, that man that, let not that man, that is, think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So we understand that it's not just what you do, it's also how you do it. Now, I don't want to be contradictory. As I said Sunday morning, the biggest problem that I think Christians have about not getting prayers answered is that we don't spend time to pray them. But while you're praying them, pray those prayers in faith, because faith is what God says is needed in prayer as we ask for wisdom, as we ask for anything, or else we're tossed about. We're like that wave, and may we not be that. For lacking wisdom, there's the needful servant, that's us, the capable God who hasn't had a case that's too big for him, and nor will he ever. But then also the mode, the way we come. And I trust that the Lord would cement it down deep in our hearts as we see those trials directly linked onto those first four or five verses there, that those trials that we don't understand, you don't understand them, you don't understand what we're going through, ask of God. Trust Him. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll give you some wisdom to understand. I know that many of you have been saved for a long time, and you're seeing some of those things that you thought were the worst issue in your life turn out to be the best favor that God ever did you. But you couldn't have said that then, and you also couldn't have said it without faith in Him, to trust Him when you can't see what He's doing. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And Lord, we often find ourselves lacking wisdom. Lord, we find ourselves in that spot where we don't know what to do. We don't need knowledge. That seems to be plentiful. But Lord, we need wisdom. Need wisdom of how to connect what knowledge is out there with the biblical exercise and practical use of that knowledge. Because Lord, sometimes the right thing to do, done in the wrong timing, makes a big mess. Lord, I pray that You would help us now be those that seek You and seek Your wisdom. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Would you stand together if you're able to tonight? If you'd like to come and pray, you're certainly welcome to. We never like to end a service without asking. If there's somebody here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, we didn't speak specifically about that, but you've had a knocking at your heart's door saying that something's not right between you and God and your eternity, you're not settled about that. If that's you tonight, please don't leave this good spot and not have it dealt with from the Word of God. And when they start playing, if you just slip out, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you'd be sure that heaven's your home. Maybe you have some other need. Maybe you need to be baptized, and we'd like to do that in a service real soon. Maybe you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe you have some other item on your mind, on your heart, that God has moved you about. Then I trust that you do business with the Lord. Would you play for us, ladies? If God spoke in your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe there's some issue you need wisdom in. If any man lack it, let him ask of God. He giveth to all men liberally. As they continue to play, if God's speaking in your heart, I invite you to come. Invite you to do business with the Lord, whatever your heart is needing tonight. Would you step out and come? Well, thank you. You may look this way and be seated. If you need to slip out, I understand. But I'm going to start it with a video.